Well, good morning. It's my turn to welcome everyone this morning. Oh, so we got that technical difficulty figured out from last week. Good, good, good. Only took him a week, but Tim figured out what was wrong with the cordless mic or the lapel mic from last week.
As I follow Brother Earl in his comments and talking about the working group and kind of as we thought about what it was that we wanted to say and what I wanted to preach about, not only about the as far as what's been going on in our congregation, but following last week, and as I look out and see the rain and just the day that we have, and it is a beautiful day, and I know as Wes prayed, the farmers and gardeners and everyone is praising God and just thanking God for the rain, and I don't know about you guys, but days like today always make me want to take a nap. It may always make me just want to get inside and then we get to listen to Earl's report on the working group, and that makes me want to take a nap. And just kidding, I'm joking. But speaking of that, and as we sit here and watch it rain outside and just enjoy the day. And we joke about, people falling asleep in church, and I really have a great view of people that fall asleep in church, and I can tell you who is susceptible to that and who is not, which I'm not going to do that at this time. But, there was a survey taken about that very thing, and it was determined that if all the people who fall asleep during church were laid end to end, they would be a lot more comfortable. But it is a great day. It is a wonderful day outside. I know the plants and the trees are enjoying this, and the farmers. But what a wonderful, wonderful day we had last week. What a great success! And I just want to call your attention to a very special number to me now, and that is 212 people were here last week worshiping God together. Now, when I started preaching here 3 years ago, and it was actually today is the 24th. It was 3 years ago, 3 days ago that I came to preach and delivered the very first sermon ever at Highland Hill on August the 21st. There were about 150, 60 some odd people that day. And I know that it was just the, hey, let's go see this new guy. And as you look around, I have been successful in running most of them people back off. But we had 150, 60 some odd people. And then we had a Friends Day, and we had a big crowd. And then we had another Friends Day, and we had a big crowd. And then we had Friends Day last year, and we had a big crowd. But never since I've been here have we had 212 people here on Sunday. And, it's such a wonderful thing to be able to be here today and to be thinking about, and this morning I want to preach about what it looks like for us to build on a win. There's successes that you have, and I believe more than anything, congregations of God's people need to have wins every once in a while. I mean, there's a lot of things against us. There's a lot of issues that we have. Like Wes was saying, you have one of those weeks where it just seems like it's full of Mondays. And I wanted to ask if he'd been following me around all week. But we have those weeks that just one thing after another. And sometimes you have those months that are like that. And as a congregation of God's people, I understand we have those times in our history of a church where it just seems like it's real hard. It's hard to live the way God wants us to live. It's hard to get along the way we're supposed to get along. It's hard to get people interested and excited. And it just seems like sometimes, we get real caught up in the difficulties. And that's just the way it is because we live in a fallen world and we're fallen people. But man, every once in a while we get a glimpse of what it can be. We get a glimpse of what it can look like. You know, I played baseball for the most part growing up, and baseball typically is a very long season. And in the major leagues, you play over 160 games, and you know, whether you're in high school or whether you're in college, baseball season is real long, and you can get into those slumps and those ruts, and you just can't seem to put together a winning streak. But then every once in a while, you'll have one of those games where the pitchers are doing what they're supposed to do and the batters are doing what they're, and you just, everything clicks, and that's what it's supposed to look like. And after the game in the locker room, the coach is just talking about, man, that's the kind of team that we can be every single time out. Last week, family, we saw what we can be every single day. We got a glimpse of what it can look like at Highland Hills Church of Christ. We got a glimpse of what it can look like in heaven. We got a glimpse of what it can be when everything is going the way we want it to go. When everything is working, when we throw away all the stats and all of the slumps, when we throw away all of the fallenness and all of the worries and all the Mondays, when we just focus on the work at hand and get excited about what we have here and want to share it with people, 212 is what it can look like. And we only had 200 of these green chairs. So I don't know what them other 12 people were sitting on, but they weren't as comfortable as the rest of us. But that's what it can look like. And it's very exciting. We have to ask ourselves this question. Why were so many people here last week? Why were people here? Why did they come here? I'll be real honest with you, and please hold your amens, Bob, till, you know, it wasn't for the preaching. He never does what he's told, does he, honey? Ever. It wasn't for the preaching. People were not here because of the singing. Yeah, that never gets an amen. You know, and I'm just going to offend everybody right off the bat. You know, people didn't come here last week for the singing, although it's always awesome. It wasn't for the special decorations. It wasn't for all of the Bible school classes that were planned. It wasn't for the fellowship or the meal. It wasn't for any of those reasons that people were here last week. You know why they were here? Because you asked them to be here. Because you asked them. That's why. I mean, most of those people never heard me preach a sermon, and they're thankful for that. Most of those people had never heard Dick lead us in worship. Most of those people had never been, you know, they didn't know what to expect. They didn't have any preconceived ideas. Now, I was selling the meal pretty hard with the people I was inviting. But they came because they were asked. Because you asked them to come. And that, friends, is a win. That's a success. So this morning, as I think about what would it be like? What would it be like if we have, you know, we have this Friends Day and we have 212 people and they're here and we're building on, and we have that once a year and we gear up for it and it's great. What would it look like? What would we gain if we had Friends Day twice a year, every 6 months? Wow, what a glorious time that would be. What an awesome, awesome win that would be. Every 6 months if we had Friends Day. What if we had it three times? You know, if we broke it down to every 4 months, we were having Friends Day and we were gearing up and we were talking to people and we were looking for folks that needed a church home or that didn't know the Lord. And once every 4 months, just to, you know, what is that? You know, every 120 days, is that right? Or so? No, four times, yeah, something like that. What if it was every 3 months? What if we did it, what if we, four times a year, once a quarter we could gear up and talk to people and invite our friends and bring them in and look for those people that are in the hopper and ask them if they need a church home, ask them if they want to share what we have. once a quarter, four times a year. Well, we could bump it up to every other month, six times in a year, every once a month, every 60 days we do that. We think about who can I invite and bringing them in here and getting them to hear the word and to enjoy worship and to get to know us in fellowship. What would it look like if just every other month? Those of you who have been here long enough, you know where I'm going. You're just waiting for me to say it, but I'm not going to. We could win like that every week. That's what it looks like. 212. And then it looks like knocking out walls and buying more green chairs and moving here and doing. That's what it looks like. And we have the privilege of building on that kind of a win. You see, some people, they never get a glimpse of what it can be, so their visions are small. Praise God, we don't suffer from that. We have a great vision of what it can look like. This morning, I want to turn your attention to a passage that typically doesn't correspond with an evangelism sermon. It typically doesn't go with an outreach or a getting excited about telling people about the Lord. But I want to talk to you this morning briefly about 2 Timothy chapter 2, starting in verse 14. And there we read, keep reminding them of these things. I love this about Paul's writing, is he's not afraid to be redundant. Paul is not afraid of repeating himself. He does that a lot. He says that into the Philippian church. He says, as I have often told you with tears, and now say again, some things bear repeating. One of the things that we have to understand is that it's easy for us to get in a rut and get complacent and keep doing the same thing and forget about all the stuff that we need to be doing, all the stuff that glorifies God, because we get right in this, in the center lane, and that's all we do. But he says, keep on reminding them of these things. Warn them before God against quarreling about words. It is of no value and only ruins those who listen. And then he says in verse 15, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. He goes on to say, avoid godless chatter, because those who indulge in it will become more and more ungodly. You see, I love this scripture because when I was growing up, this was like I said, in the King James Bible, it says in verse 15, to study, to show yourself approved. So this was always the verse that I was given, that my mom always, you know, chastised me with when I wasn't memorizing the scripture that she had picked out, or when I wasn't doing my Sunday school lessons, or when I wasn't doing, you know, whatever. She'd say, the Bible says you've got to study so that you will be approved. And then as I got older and I studied more, I realized that my mom wasn't really that good at Greek, so she didn't know the scripture as well as she thought she did. And the King James really butchers this passage. Because the better translation is that it has more to do with studying and has everything to, you know, has less to do with studying and more to do with applying ourselves across the board to the work that God wants us to do, to presenting and being what He has in mind for us. But I guess in a roundabout way, if I wasn't doing what Mom told me to do in her somewhat incorrect translation, I wouldn't be where I am today, so I got to hand it to her. Right again, Mom. But you know, one thing I love about this is he talks about correctly handling the word of truth. Correctly handling the word of truth. And Shane, what does that mean? What do you mean do that? What does that have to do with building on a win and enjoying the success and the goodness of Friends Day last week? What, correctly handling the word of truth? Just do your best to handle the word of truth. You know what the word of truth is? It's a revelation of God's love. You see, if we're going to continue the winning streak, if we're going to put together back to back days and weeks and months of growing the kingdom of God, of being the church that God wants us to be, of bringing people to this place so they can experience God, we have to correctly reveal God. not just in what we say, but also in what we do. It's a revelation of God's love. It's a revelation of God's compassion. It's a revelation of God's mercy. It's revealing God's forgiveness. You know what Paul over and over and over admonishes the church to do? So do your best to correctly reveal the grace of God. That's what he's wanting us to do. I believe with all of my heart, this is the crux of what he's talking to Timothy about, a young preacher in front of a young congregation in a world that is fallen, in a world that desperately needs the truth and not the truth about themselves, because so often we use the word to tell people what they're doing wrong and how they're disappointing God and all these things, but we need to correctly tell people about the God that we serve. That'll grow the church. Let me tell you, friends, when we get the story about God right, the buildings won't hold them. When we correctly and redundantly tell people about how compassionate and merciful, about how forgiving and gracious, about how loving is our God. When we reveal that to the masses, we're going to have more problems than just where to find more chairs. He says, correctly handle the word of truth. We have to tell people about God. Tell people the facts about God. We can't keep it to ourselves. We have to be a people who, it's not good enough for us to keep it to ourselves. It's not good enough for us to know the truth, for us to walk around with a smile on our lips and a song in our heart because of the mercy and the grace and the compassion and the forgiveness and the love of our God. It isn't good enough for us. We have to tell people the truth about God. And that will bring people to Him. But he doesn't just say to correctly handle the word of truth by speaking it and telling people the truth and telling them the story as it truly is. But he says, he starts and he ends this thought with, keep reminding them, warn them before God against quarreling about what you do. And he says in verse 16, avoid godless chatter. You know what he says? He's telling us to give God a good name. Whatever you do, give God a good name. We are God here on earth, after all, aren't we? We're the body of Christ. 2 Corinthians 5 and 20 tells us that we are the aroma. We are the ambassadors of Christ. If anyone is going to see God, it's up to us to show it to them. So when we tell people the truth about the God who we serve, when we tell people the truth about the God who recreated us in His image, the God that we are like, doesn't it stand to reason that we would be like Him? Not unholy, but that we would be holy. You see, because what they think of us, what people think about Shane Hines, is ultimately what they're going to think about God. What they think about Dick Fuel or Ward Harder or Earl or Bill or Tom, what they think about His people is what they're going to think about Him. We're His ambassadors. Oh, we are jars of clay, no doubt about it. We are pillars of salt at best, looking back always longingly to the life that He's calling us away from. But if they see the church as complacent, uninterested, too busy to care, judgy, that's how they'll view God. Guys, that's a lie. That is a lie. Because that's not our God. This morning, as we build on a win, I want to encourage you. Last week, and all of the work that preceded that, and all of the goals and the dreams and the ambitions that went in to having a wonderful day of worship and praise and fellowship, that is the truth about God, because He wants all those people and more.
He wants everyone we know. He wants us to be the truth about Him. Not keeping it to ourselves, but sharing it.
You know, the working group has done a great job, and I got to hand it to them. They've met. I mean, they've met a lot on those Wednesdays that Earl was talking about, and they've come up with a great idea. They've come up with some plans and with some directions, with some organization, and they can organize, but it's up to each one of us to get involved. You know, we can plan Friends Day, but if no one invites, then we'll be sitting here alone. It's up to each one of us. It was a success last week because you asked them to be here. And all of the programs, and all of the Sundays will be a success in the future if we ask them again. Would you stand with me as we sing?